Well, hello again. For those of you who weren't here earlier, my name is Kate Keller. I am a senior program officer at the Health Foundation of Greater Cincinnati. I have been working in the area of funding school health programs for over 11 years in the Greater Cincinnati area, and I am also a board member of the National Assembly on School-Based Healthcare. So I'm here to talk to you today about two studies that we did in Cincinnati when we opened our school-based health centers. And here's our research team for this. Our principal investigators were Dr. Jeff Guo of the University of Cincinnati and Dr. Terry Wade, who was at the time at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. He's currently at Brock University in Canada. And then the rest of us who helped do this study, or studies. My agenda today is to tell you a little bit about the initiative of what we're doing and the highlights of the studies, and then what I'm actually here to talk about is we linked two different studies. So that analysis has just recently been done to look at when we combine these two studies, if we found any differences. So I will give you a little background on that. In 1999, the foundation began an initiative to open school-based health centers in Greater Cincinnati, and we cover 20 counties that surround Cincinnati in three states. And so the school health centers were in Ohio and Kentucky. We didn't have any in Indiana at the time. And since just over that time frame, we opened about 15 school-based health centers, and we're opening more, so our numbers are growing from there. But part of that initiative was to invest in studies that looked at the health outcomes of school-based health centers. Our board knew they were investing $10 to $15 million in school-based health centers, and they wanted to know if they worked. So we implemented two different studies, one being the evaluation of health outcomes and absenteeism among the students, and Dr. Wade and his team implemented this study. And the highlights of that are in a book in the back. I'm not going to go through all of them, but it looked at the health outcomes of the kids, and there was a statistical and clinical improvement in the children's health for kids who use the school-based health centers. So we saw great highlights in that, and so there's more information in the back on that. The design of the study is that it was 3 years the first 3 years the school health center's opening. It was a longitudinal study that looked at those outcomes, and we measured the processes as well. There were eight intervention schools and four comparison schools. So we matched them on their on their economic status and locations, if they're rural or urban, in the two states. And these were what we were studying to look at them. And again, as I said, the outcomes of those are in the back. But the health-related quality of life was conducted through a phone survey of the parents and the students. So a randomly selected group of kids were selected and followed over 3 years. And those are the kids that we're linking in the Medicaid studies. When I get there, we're looking at the kids who participated in the health-related quality of life study, and they were a smaller section of children who did or didn't use the school health center. And then the other study that I'm going to spend more time on, because the presentation's about Medicaid, is we looked at the Medicaid costs for the kids who had access to the school-based health center and kids who didn't, who were in the comparison schools. And this was implemented by Jeff Guo at UC. So our goals were to evaluate the overall health care costs of those kids, and then we were going to narrow in on kids who had asthma and mental health as our subgroup, as our sub-cohorts. Our study period was from 3 years before the implementation and 3 years post. So we had a 6-year time frame, and we only had access to Ohio Medicaid's data. So this is only for the intervention schools and two of the comparison schools. And then, of course, we had access to enrollment data and encounter data from the school health centers. And this was the framework that Jeff worked under as timely appropriate care. Of course, we were trying to look for lower need for costly medical care. So overall, of the 5,000 students who were enrolled, who were either enrolled in a school with a school health center or in a comparison school, these are all the Medicaid students who were in there. So over 5,000 students who were involved in that time frame. And this just lets you know their total Medicaid costs. And the number one Medicaid cost for those students is mental health services. So a third of the Medicaid funding went for mental health. And then outpatient was second in line. And you can see as you go down from there what Medicaid is spending on those kids. When we looked at the total overall cost, the line in the middle is when the school-based health center opened. And the total Medicaid cost for the students didn't look any different if they were in a school with or without a school-based health center. And at first it seemed okay because they were getting more services, so it seemed you're spending the same amount of money and getting more services in the school health center. But when you start breaking out the data, you see different findings. And for our rural school-based health centers, their overall costs were lower than the comparison schools. So there are savings for students in the rural community. Our prescription drug costs were significantly lower if you had access to a school-based health center or if you didn't. And then our emergency room costs, again, for rural schools, lower if you had access to a school-based health center than if you didn't. This was an interesting finding from that study, was if you looked at the healthcare gap for our African-American students, that it was obviously 3 years prior to the intervention consistently lower than their white counterpart students, and at the end of 3 years it crossed. So we were very pleased to see the closing of that gap. Our asthma subgroup, we saw great findings in these, and the differences on hospitalizations and ER use, whether or not they had access to or didn't have access to a school-based health center. And this was published a couple years ago in the Journal of Adolescent Health, so in October of 6, maybe, I can't remember. But we were very excited to see that if you're a student with asthma, that having access to a school-based health center greatly benefits you in that area. And then here, the hospitalization cost, you can see the line of that, of how greatly a $970 per student decrease if you had access to a school-based health center for hospitalization costs. Emergency room costs, this wasn't statistically significant, but very impressive. That they started off at the exact same point and went in complete different directions before and after. And our mental health subgroup costs, these were the percentage of students who received services. So we saw an increased number of students receiving services, especially in our rural communities. You see it went from almost 20% to 27% having access. So these are the number of kids who were improving and getting it. And the cost of mental health services, you can also see that they were lower. However, when you look at the kids with mental health problems, their costs actually went up. If you had access to a school-based health center, they did increase. But they were getting more services, so that's okay. But what we wanted to look at was if there were any differences. The Medicaid data that I just showed you was students who had access to a school-based health center, not whether or not they used the center or not. And we wanted to know if there were any differences. Since we had a different study in the same schools, we were able to link those data sets to see if there were any differences to that. And we haven't done the asthma group kids yet, but they did do the mental health sub-cohort. So this is the number of kids, if you break down between the schools, that 104 kids used the center, 146 didn't, and then the comparison students were 177 in schools without a school-based health center. And overall, what was interesting is that we didn't find great variances from the first study of the kids who had access to or didn't have access to. So, total overall expenses, once you combine them all, weren't that different. However, students in schools without school-based health centers, as we saw before, have higher emergency room visits and prescription drug costs. The picture looks the same, pretty much. The percentages do vary, but the big chunks of spending are pretty much the same for total healthcare costs for these students. And then as you break it down, this is where it kind of gets a little crazy, but these are the quarterly expenditure total costs for the students. And the student user is the blue line, and the non-user is orange, and the non-school-based health center is the purple. So it's giving us a different picture of the kids who use school-based health centers and what their costs are. There was no major statistical difference in those. Emergency room visits, again, the non-school-based health centers were higher at different parts, and the school-based health center user, those are seasonal differences, so that the ER room costs jump in the summer and they drop in the school year. So if you look at those, you can see that's where the peaks are, but if they don't use it, it's a little more consistent. Mental health services, those, again, the peaks are summertime, and that's consistent whether they have a school health center or not. So, or school years, they're more expensive because they're getting services and they dip in the summertime. Prescription costs, again, this was consistent whether the students used it or didn't use it. For some reason, if they had access to it before, it didn't make a difference. These students had similar prescription care costs, but after the implementation of the school-based health center, they all had lower prescription care costs. So I can't explain why that is, but it is. And then we looked at our mental health sub-cohort to look at the difference of the students who had mental health things. And so obviously our numbers got significantly smaller. Our users are 25, non-users 45, and those in our comparison schools of 39 students identified with mental health diagnoses. So then this is their cost before and after the implementation of the school-based health center. And again, the students without access to a school-based health center, their total cost jumped quite significantly. And if you had a mental health diagnosis and you had access to a school-based health center, they didn't. So we're very pleased to see that. And if you had, these are for mental health, so your mental health services, again, they stabilized. So you had access to a school-based health center, the mental health care costs stabilized. And they didn't skyrocket like if you were in the non-school-based health care. Hospitalization costs, again, the non-school-based health center students, their hospitalization costs significantly increased, and then the school-based health center users actually decreased. Emergency department use, school-based health center users stayed the same. The non-users increased, and the school-based health center, the non-school-based health center schools, of course, increased. So we're showing trends of either stabilizing or saving costs by having access to a school-based health center, in that the schools consistently who didn't have the school-based health center, and every which way you looked at it, their costs increased. Physician encounter costs for our students with mental health problems, again, the school-based health center users slightly decreased their physician encounter costs, while the school-based health center, the non-school-based health center schools greatly increased. Prescription drug costs, same. And this lets you know over each 6 years, so you can watch the bumps as they go. And this spike in the year, I'm not quite exactly sure for the non-school-based health center why they had that spike. It must have been a sick kid in that year or something. But again, the total cost overall at the end, almost the same. Again, I'm just showing consistency here. Yeah, this one's kind of all over the board. But as you see, the emergency department costs for students with mental health problems, the users were up and down as well as the non-user. And I can't explain why, other than maybe, I don't know if the non-users had, services in the community to begin with. So they didn't access the school-based health center because they had it before it opened. So overall, the expenses, as I said earlier, between the kids, when you look at the total Medicaid costs, there didn't seem to be that much of a difference at the end. But when you break it down, definitely in the sub-cohorts and kids with chronic illnesses, there's significant savings to Medicaid. So there's an indication by putting school-based health centers in with kids who have significant numbers of mental health problems or asthma that the system will see a cost savings for those students. So thank you. Oh, sorry, I guess you finished that. We're going to continue doing some more studies on this as well in Northern Kentucky. And we are going to be looking at the cost analysis of the incremental change for the students as their health status increased. We're going to be looking at a cost analysis of that, of what it costs to actually increase their health status. So that'll be the next analysis out of this. So thank you.